بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. We have reached in our discussion regarding this hadith to the level of the 10th level after the Iman al-A'zam, which Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned. And I told you in the last lesson which he takes the Ayat al-Kareema Fadkhuli fi Ibadi from Surah al-Fajr as an indication towards the level of Iman, al-Iman al-A'zam, the greatest level of Iman. So basically, in that level, like we discussed already in the last Thursday, a person, this level is for those who belong to the haqiqat of Ibadat, and the haqiqat of every Ibadat is the Mushahadatul Ma'bud, and the ru'yat of ma'bud is the witnessing of the ma'bud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after crossing that level that we already discussed in the previous class, so then the 10th level is the al-hijratul uzma, the greatest migration. The greatest migration level is the level where a person basically migrates from this level of his own wujud towards al-wujud al-mutlaq, the absolute existence, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the stage where we migrate from our own self towards Allah. And this is frequently referred in the books of Irfan. Yeah, in Tazkiratul Awliya, it has been mentioned, you know, this is kind of a very famous statement, da nafsaka wa ta'al, that means leave yourself and come. So this is a proverb which is frequently used, that means leave yourself and come, which means we are talking about the same Hijrat-e Uzma stage of Ilm al-Irfan, where the person basically gets transferred from the level of his own self by migrating from that stage and goes beyond to the stage of Allah's wujud al-mutlaq. So basically he has migrated from his own self. And this is what is Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh says, that the next verse after Fadkhuli fi ibadi, the next verse is that Wadkhuli Jannati, that means enter into my paradise. This verse of Holy Quran is indicating, it's an ishara towards the Al-Hijratul Uzma, the biggest migration. So when do you enter into the paradise of Allah? وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. This is the level where which belongs to those of the people who have basically transferred above the stage of their own self. And here, you know, basically the person gets transferred from the Alamul Jabarut to basically the stage of you know, Alamul Lahut, which belongs to the Sifat and Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this stage, when a person reaches that stage, you know, it has been narrated from some of the Urafa also that, you know, one of the great scholars, it's also narrated in Tazkiratul Awliya that, you know, he, one of the great scholars doing the munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that, I said in my munajat towards Allah, Kayful Wusulu Ilayk, how can I reach you? And I heard this nida and call from the ghaib that Talliq nafsaka thalathan thumma qul Allah. This is exactly what we are discussing in this stage. That means divorce yourself three times, then you say Allah. So basically getting above the stage of our own existence. This this kind of taraqqi and getting elevated to that level and is basically the sign of entering into the Alamul Khulus wal Ikhlas that we have been discussing right from the beginning of this series of lectures. So now we have come to the final stage where a person enters into the world of Khulus and Ikhlas. And that happens, and you know, Khulus in Arabic literally means purity. Purity from everything which is impuring and tainting your personality. So any mixture, any impurity, anything which taints your pure form. So here when you migrate from your own self, you have already migrated from all the sins and all the rusum and all the ala'iq and awa'iq and all the, you know, taqaleed and rusum and alamat and athar of jahl and all those things that have already been gone. But right now our own existence, which is the last stage, is crossed in this level. And here a person is basically purified. And now he is entitled to read, to enter into the Jannat and Paradise of Allah, Jannati, which is different than that Jannat which belongs to Jannat in Tajri min Tahtiha al-Anhar, those paradise under which the Anhar and, you know, streams are running. This is a different Jannat that we are talking about, which Allah is relating towards His own self, Jannati. So this is different. And also, you know, the verse of Holy Quran says that in Surah Az-Zumar, في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. So basically, these people are the ones who are in the, they belong to the, to a station, to a place of sidq and truthfulness. In the Malikin Muqtadir, in the closeness of that Malik. Malik is a Sighatul Mubalagha from Malik. Malik in Arabic means the basically, you know, the ruler and the king. So Malik is the Sighatul Mubalagha. So basically, these people have a place next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Malik and Muqtadir. And there's a difference in Arabic also between Qadir and Muqtadir. Qudrat, Qadir means someone who has Qudrat, whereas Muqtadir shows the higher level of Iqtidar and Qudrat, is the extreme azamat of the Qudrat of Allah. So when you want to talk about the extreme azamat of the qudrat of Allah, we use the term of iqtidar instead of qudrat in Arabic. So this world of ikhlas requires us to basically get above our own selves and have nothing but Allah in our minds. And look at this hadith which has been narrated from Jami' al-Fawa'id. Ibn Shahr Ashub rahmatullah alayh in his book is narrating this hadith from Ibn Abbas that ahda rajulun ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam naqatayn azimatayn saminatayn فقال للصحابة هل فيكم أحد يصلي ركعتين بوضوئهما وقيامهما وركوعهما وسجودهما وخشوعهما ولم يهتم فيهما بشيء من أمور الدنيا ولا يحدث قلبه بفكر الدنيا. Ibn Abbas says that a person came he gifted two camels to Rasulullah, great big fat camels. And Prophet said to his Sahaba and companions, is there anyone among you who can pray two rakats of prayers? With, of course, with its wudu and qiyam and ruku and sujood and khushu, you know. And walam yahtamma fihima bi shay'in min umuri dunya. And he does not give importance to anything of the affairs of this dunya. During those two rakats, those moments then you are when you are praying those two rakats, you don't give any importance to any of the affairs of dunya. That kind of two rakats of prayers. وَلَا يُحْدِثْ قَلْبَهُ بِفِكْرِ الدُّنْيَا. And don't even think in your qalb about dunya. أُهْدِ إِلَيْهِ إِحْدَى هَاتَيْنِ النَّاقَتَيْنِ. If there is anyone among you who can do that, I will give one of these camels to him. Prophet said, فَقَالَهَا مَرَّةً وَمَرَّتَيْنِ وَثَلَاثًا. Prophet said it once, twice, three times. Nobody said, I can do it. So, فَلَمْ يُجِبْهُ أَحَدٌ مِنَ أَصْحَابِهِ فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَقَالَ. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, أَنَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I will do it. أُصَلِّ الرَّكَعَتَيْنِ أُكَبِّرُ التَّكْبِيرَ الْأُولَى إِلَى أَنْ أُسَلِّمَ مِنْهَا لَا أُحْدَثُ نَفْسِي بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا. I will pray two rakats of prayers. And, you know, starting from the first takbir till I do the salam, and I will not basically have any, I will not think, in other words, I will not have any kind of thought of this, of the affairs of the dunya, anything of this dunya. So, فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ صَلَّى يَا عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. So Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that pray, may Allah send his salat and durood on you. So qala fakabbara Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. Ibn Abbas says that Imam Ali did his takbir and he started to pray. Wa dakhala fi salati falamma sallama min ar-rak'atayn habata Jibril alayhi salam ala an-nabi fa qala ya Muhammad innallaha yuqra'uka as-salam wa yaqulu laka a'tihi ihda an-naqatayn. So, when Imam Ali was done with the two rakats of prayers, Jibreel came on the Holy Prophet and said that, O Muhammad, Allah is saying his salam, Allah is saying salam on you. And he says that give Imam Ali alayhi salam one of those two camels. So, Prophet says to Jibreel, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أنا شارطته أن يصلي ركعتين لا يحدث فيهما نفسه بشيء من أمور الدنيا. Prophet is saying that I put this condition with him that he should not think of anything from the affairs of this dunya. Whereas Imam Ali alayhi salam, and then of course I will give him one of those two camels. Whereas وَإِنَّهُ جَلَسَ فِي التَّشَهُّدِ فَتَفَكَّرَ فِي نَفْسِهِ أَيَّهُمَا يَأْخُذُ. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, Prophet says that he, when he sat in the tashahhud, he thought in his mind which one of those two he should take. So Jibreel replied to the Holy Prophet, فَقَالَ جِبْرَئِيلُ يَا مُحَمَّدُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْرَأُكَ السَّلَامُ وَيَقُولُ لَكَ تَفَكَّرَ أَيَّهُمَا يَأْخُذُ أسمنهما فينحرها فيتصدق بها لوجه الله تعالى. So Jibreel said to the Prophet for the second time, O Muhammad, and Allah says salam to you, and Allah says that that talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, that when he sat in the tashahhud, when he thought about which one of those two he would take so that he can do the nahar, he can slaughter it basically Islamically and give sadaqah for the sake of wajhullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically that thinking was also not for the sake of the umur of dunya, he was thinking about sadaqah and giving it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ تَفَكُّرُهُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى لَا لِنَفْسِهِ وَلَا لِلدُّنْيَا. So his tafakkur and thinking was not for the sake of his self or for the sake of dunya. Instead, he was thinking about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this does not contradict with the shart and condition basically that the Prophet put forward. فَبَكَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَأَعْتَاهُ كِلْتَيْهِمَا. So Prophet cried when he heard that state. Of course, the Holy Prophet knew the whole thing. Maybe one of the hikmat why the Prophet is saying this statement and then Jibreel comes on Allah's behalf and he's clarifying the whole thing in front, and then Prophet explains in front of the Ashab. Maybe one of the hikmat is that Prophet wants the azamat and greatness of Imam Ali alayhi salam be explained in front of the Ashab on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not that the Prophet doesn't know. Prophet himself also knows. But this is one of the ways maybe how the azamat becomes clear. In one of the riwayat, I read that Prophet, when he was talking about the maghfirat and forgiveness of his ummah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah said that he is going to reward the maghfirat upon the shafa'at of Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment. And Prophet was asking the maghfirat, in this dunya. And Allah said that, in other words, the benefit of giving you the right of shafa'at on the Day of Judgment is that so that everybody gets to know that because of your shafa'at they are forgiven. If Allah forgives them right in this dunya upon the dua of the Holy Prophet, maybe nobody recognizes or very few people recognize that we are getting forgiven because of the dua of Rasulullah. Now when we are not forgiven in this dunya and we are resurrected on the Day of Judgment and we seek the shafaat and intercession of Rasulullah there on the Maidan al-Hashr, then everybody, mu'mins, kafirs, everybody will recognize that this is the greatness and azamat of the Holy Prophet. He is the only one. It's narrated in the hadith that when on the day of Mahshar, when people will be resurrected, the first one, when the prophets will be resurrected, they would say, Nafsi, Nafsi. And they will be thinking about their own selves. That means, what's going to happen to me? What's my status, in other words? When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be resurrected, he would say, Ummati, Ummati. That means Prophet is not afraid about himself. Prophet is not worried about himself. He is worried about what is going to happen towards his Ummah. So this great status of Rasulullah is because of his great level and taharat of the qalb, that he is the only one who enjoys that level, and of course the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. So, fi maq'ad sidqin in the Malik al-Muqtadir. So, maq'ad al-Sidq is the place. There are several tafaseer done in the Sunni books and Shia books about that. Maq'ad al-Sidq, it has been said, is the place where a person is radi and pleased. That's the place where which belongs to the muqarrabin and the close people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was looking in Tafsir al-Mizan, Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi has said that there's an ihtimal that you know, when we say this maq'ad as-sidq, it means, he says that it means that this is a place that the rastgui, you know, the sidq and truthfulness of the muttaqeen is proven. We call it because the truthfulness of the muttaqeen is proven through their amal and the claim of iman. So the muttaqeen, this level belongs to the muttaqeen whose taqwa and iman's claim is certified, and the truthfulness of this claim is certified with their actions. And he also says that this, there is an ihtimal that this maqam is a maqam where, it's the level where it's the sidq and truthfulness is pure. There's no kizb and you know, false or lie. And this is a place of hudur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a place of hudur without any ghaibat. And it's a place of qurb and closeness towards Allah. Closeness without any kind of bu'd and distance. And it's a place of ni'mat and blessing without any kind of punishment and torment and nikmat. And it's a place of surur and happiness without any kind of sorrow. And it's a place of baqa and survival without any kind of fana and loss of the ni'mat. So, and also we have another riwayat from one of the tafsir of the Sunni brothers, which they have narrated in their tafsir, another hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam talking about this same verse of Holy Quran. Imam alayhi salam has said that the meaning of this verse when it says, you know, maq'ad sidqin, is that it's a majlis which belongs to the people who have nothing but sidq. So those people who have nothing but truthfulness, basically they are the ones who are deserving to sit on that place. And also there's another hadith narrated by Sheikh Saduq doing the tafsir from the Holy Prophet, where he has said, it's narrated that Prophet was sitting in the Masjid al-Madinah with a bunch of ashab, and somebody started to talk about, you know, about the paradise and Jannat. And Prophet said that, oh Abu Dujana, are you not attentive to the point that whosoever loves us and his love towards us is proven with the test, is proven through the tests, that means he's examined about the love towards us, Allah is going to resurrect him along with us. And then Prophet recited this exact verse of Holy Quran, fi maq'ad sidqin inda malikin muqtadir. So basically we learn in the light of these tafaseer that if we have the love of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, and we are steadfast on this love towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and we are tested in this life of dunya regarding being on the istiqamat, being resilient and having the patience over the love of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and our actions are, our taqwa is proven through our actions, and then we deserve to sit on that position of what we call the maq'ad as-sidq in the malikin muqtadir. Salawat. And after crossing this stage of hijrat, then you know, basically a person battles with any of the athar related to the wujud, his own wujud, and reaches the alamul qudus, which is our prime, which was our prime goal, to talk about the alamul qudus and the stage which a person has to reach. And that stage is referred in the verse of Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you know, says according to Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahurum, Ahya'un عند ربهم ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء. So when we say, so don't even think about those people who are killed in the path of Allah to be dead. They are alive, and basically they're alive in the Rabbihim, close to their Lord. And of course, yurzaqoon, they are receiving the risk, which is a special kind of risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these people, there's a special kind of risk which they are actually receiving from God. And this is called the hayat. This is the real hayat and life. They have no scare and fear in that stage, because they are in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the basically murabbiye azali, and the actual provider of the tarbiyat of the humankind. And this stage is also understood in the light of the verse of Holy Quran, which we say Kalimatul Istirja, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, from Suratul Baqarah. This stage of Alamul Khulus is also understood from this ayat, because when a person is belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he realizes that we, Inna Lillah, we belong to Him. This is a stage where a person cannot reach. He's in the light of the statement of Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, we understand that no one can reach a stage to where he can basically believe in the real form that we belong to Allah, unless you have reached the stage of going beyond your own self, and you get basically attached towards the wujud-e mutlaq and absolute existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the stage beyond the ajsam and beyond the arwah and beyond the stage of our self. And this is the greatest success. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the greatest success. And these category of people who reach the stage of ikhlas by crossing their own self, they are the ones who are already dead in the life of this dunya. That's why they are alive in the Rabbihim. The reason why they are ahya'un in the Rabbihim, they are alive close to their Lord, because they are dead in the life of this dunya. Look at this, the verse of Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in Suratul An'am, verse 122, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيِّتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجْعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Is the person who was dead, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيِّتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, and then we made him alive, وَجْعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, and we provided him nur with which he walks in the people. So that kind of person who was dead and Allah made him alive, and then he has the nur with which he walks around among the people, he cannot be like the person who has ghulumat and darknesses, who is in the darknesses, and surrounded in the darknesses. So this level of dying before our death causes the real hayat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the hadith of the Holy Prophet when he says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, that's what our scholars say, that this is the hayat-e haqiqiyya, the real life in the alamul lahut, where in the alam of qudus and purity. Look at what the Prophet said about Imam Ali: man arada ayyandura ila mayyitin yamshi, whosoever wants to look towards a dead person walking, فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ عَلِي بْنَ أَبِي
طَالِبٍ.
مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ مَيِّتٍ يَمْشِي, whosoever wishes to see, to look towards a dead person, a mayyit, yamshi, who is walking, فَيَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ عَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبْ. He should look towards Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is a dead person walking. Dead person walking, what does it mean? You know, that's what our Urafa say. One of the ihtimalat is exactly the same stage that we are talking about. This, that means Imam Ali alayhi salam, since he belongs to the Alamul Fulus at all times, he has already gone above the level of his own self. Above the level of his own self, getting attached to the Wujud al-Mutlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolute existence of Allah. So basically, he has already taken his soul out from this world. Look at what Imam Ali says in Nahj al-Balagha, that أَخْرِجُوا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا قُلُوبَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُخْرَجَ مِنْهَا أَبْدَانُكُمْ. Take your souls out from this dunya before your bodies are taken out from this dunya. This is what we are talking about. So, taking your souls out from this dunya. So, if you have already taken your soul out, look at what the Prophet says in his hadith, Mutu qabla an tamutu. Die before you die. Die before you die. How can you die before you die? You can die before you die if you take your souls out from this dunya by not getting attached to this dunya. Instead, you get attached towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have taken your soul out, and this is a kinaya of death. It's a kinaya, it's a metaphor, majazan. It is used as death of your, because what happens in the death? Your soul is taken out. So if you have voluntarily taken your soul out from this dunya in your life by not getting attached, your soul is not attached, so basically you are dead in that sense. And yeah, the time is running out. The Quran has mentioned, and I will inshallah mention the tafsir of that ayat inshallah in the next Thursday, where Quran says in Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 68, that وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, the trumpet, sur of Israfil, the sur, the trumpet is blown, it will be blown into the trumpet, and the trumpet is blown, فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So when the trumpet is blown, basically, what's going to happen, that all those who are in the samawat, in the heavens, and all those who are on earth will fall down dead. Everybody, in other words, dead. Everybody will fall down, everybody will die. So we believe in the Surah of Israfil, and we believe that the trumpet will be blown two times. Once for the death, and once for the revival, and again, giving the hayat and life to all the living people once again, you know, on the day of judgment. So basically, illa man sha Allah, except those whom Allah wishes. So they are. We will discuss in the inshallah this verse of Holy Quran, that who are those people which are exempt from this kind of treatment, and who are. How it is going to happen that the sur of Israfil will be blown, and how the second time of the sur will be blown, and how the people will then be resurrected, and what concern it has to with our discussion. Inshallah, we will talk about that in the next Thursday. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-mayameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.
If you have any question related to the speech, you are welcome to ask. We have a few minutes. Yeah, the time was also asked in several ahadith. We find that people ask the Prophet, different masumeen, what is the distance between the first blowing? What is the duration between the first blowing of the trumpet and the second nafkh, and basically we don't find any duration mentioned. What the Ahlul Bayt replied is that it's up to the mashiyat of Allah. So it's up to his mashiyat and will. We don't know about how much duration will pass by between two nafkh and two blowings. And it is not mentioned in the hadith. Several times it was asked, but the reply from the Ahlul Bayt was that it's up to the mashiyat of Allah. صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين أسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين